prayer. Amen. Less of us and more of God in our life. Put your hands together one more time as our pastor comes to minister the word.
Yes, yes, yes. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, everybody. God is so good. God is so good. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Three places we'll be going tonight. One is Jude, the book of Jude. The other is Ezekiel 13, and the other is Romans chapter 16. We'll see if we get to all of those, but let's start in the book of Jude. See how far we get. 3 years ago tonight, I lay in a hospital bed waiting on bypass surgery. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad to be anywhere tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. God kept his hand on me and brought me through, and I don't ever want to fail to remember what he's done for me. Amen. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Notice that Jude, he's also the brother of Jesus. Did you know that? But he doesn't identify himself as the brother of Jesus, but rather the servant of Jesus, because he is a Christian and he is a servant of the Lord. And so in his humility, he doesn't point out, hey, I'm a brother of Jesus, but I'm a brother of James and I'm a servant of Jesus. So there's humility there. I like that. He said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Aren't you glad you've been sanctified? And aren't you glad he keeps you? Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you would earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but that they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Sorry, I almost left off the amen. Thought I was going to get through that without any incidents. Jude is writing to the church, and he's addressing false teachers and their false doctrines. He says in verse 3, he said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. In other words, he says, I wanted to write to you about just talking about our salvation, just talking about good things that we have in common. But he says, I was impressed that it was needful for me. In other words, there's an urgency here for me to write to you concerning the need to contend for the faith. Why? Because the faith was under attack. I want to say that again, only differently. The faith is under attack. What is the faith? What is he referring to when he talks about the faith? He's not talking about necessarily your belief. Not here. That's not the same thing that he's talking about. But we could sum it up this way. The faith is the known and received body of truth about Jesus and salvation through Jesus. I'll say that again. The faith is the known and received body of truth. Everybody say truth. That's what's under attack. The body of truth about Jesus, who he is, what he came for, and the salvation that comes through Jesus. And Jude says, this is under attack by false teachers, and so I wanted to just write to you about commonalities that we have about our salvation, but I felt impressed by the Spirit and by our circumstances that I needed to write and tell you that you need to fight and defend and earnestly contend for our knowledge of who Jesus is, the truth about who Jesus is, and that there's only salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he says, that's why I'm writing about these things. He says that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Look at this. Which was once delivered unto the saints. Another rendering of that scripture is once for all delivered to the saints. We live in a day of technology. We live in a day of, if you have a smartphone or a tablet or a computer or whatever, you probably have apps. You know what an app is. And often we get notifications that if you're going to use this app, you need to do an update on this app. Otherwise, it doesn't work like it should work. There's new things added and bugs that are fixed and tweaks that are made and all these things. I went to open up some documents today. I use Goodreader for my PDF reader, and I have all of my Revival by Design lessons in Goodreader. And so recently, I wanted to look through some notes and reference some things from RBD, and so I went to open it up. Well, I hadn't used Goodreader since I've updated my my tablet, my phone, the running system to the latest iOS 11, which I do like. I do like everything about it, except for when I went to open Goodreader. Goodreader got a message that said, this application will no longer work in iOS 11. So the Goodreader's free. That's no problem. I'll go update. Well, there was no update. It said, you can't update this. You got to download the new version. Well, that's okay, because Goodreader's free. Not anymore, it's not. So I went to download the latest version. I had to buy the latest version for $5. That's not a big deal, but I did it. I downloaded the new version. yippee, and I'll go open my documents. And so I went to open my documents. Well, my documents from the old Goodreader didn't migrate over to the new Goodreader. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you are nodding out there. You've got the same complaints that I have. And so surely there's a button on here, right? In today's technology, you can just migrate. No. Get ready. If you haven't upgraded to iOS 11, I'm just venting a little bit here. You have to buy new Goodreader. You won't automatically be able to migrate your documents over. You're going to have to go through some laborious process. So I didn't get to reference what I wanted to reference today because there's changes that were made, updates that were made, tweaks that were made. It better be good when I get to it. Amen. And this is the day we live in. We live in a day where things are always being improved upon, always being added to. There are some religions, Mormonism comes to mind, and some other religions, even Catholicism, that their entire belief system is based upon the premise that what we have, these canonized books that we have in our Bible, were not complete, were not enough, and so there's been an update, an upgrade made to the Word of God. Somebody came down from heaven and gave some man an upgrade. All you got to do is push the button and we'll get an upgrade and an update. And so they know all these extra things and new things that are not really in the Word of God. And Jude is saying, you better be careful about these people who get these revelations that supersede and go beyond what the Word of God says. Be careful about people that are always looking for something new, something extraordinary, something you've never heard before, something fresh. Because I'm telling you, these 66 books that we have been around a long time, and they don't need an upgrade, and they don't need an update, and they don't need any improvements made. When God wrote His Word, He knew what He was doing. Come on, somebody. And anybody that's going to tell you, well, there's a new thing, you better be careful about new things. New carts will get you in trouble, because even though you might be trying to bring the right thing to the right place, David found out a new cart isn't really that impressive to God. New paths aren't that impressive. The Bible says, seek out the old paths, the old ways. So everything we need, Jude says, look, it was once for all delivered to the saints, that's to the Christians, to the church. It's been delivered to us. It's been signed and it's been sealed and it's been delivered. And you don't need a new word. You just need to get this word. I'm going to preach a little bit, even though it's Wednesday night. I said, you don't need a new word. Most of us don't need a fresh word. We just need to accept the word God's already given us. Words we've already been reading. Words we've already heard preached and heard taught. We've read them a dozen or scores of times. We just need to heed what's already been delivered to the saints. Amen. I'll try not to get too excited. I know it's Wednesday. Once for all delivered to the saints, you better contend for that. Contend for this. What does that mean? It means you better defend it. You better stand up for it. You got to fight for it. If there ever was a time that we could be timid about our faith, I don't know if there ever was the time, but we've certainly passed that time. You can't be timid about your faith. Hey, the world's not being timid. There's no timidity about their sins. There's no timidity in the world about doing wrong and doing evil. They're in your face, demanding acceptance, demanding your respect. Come on, somebody. And so it is even in the religious world. They're not timid about bringing these false doctrines, false teachings. Hey, can I tell you something? Can I share this with you? While we're at it here, because I'm going to get into it. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. I'm going to teach a little bit tonight about the role, just a little bit, and I might do some more before the month's over, the role of the pastor, the role of the ministry in the church, in your life. But you need to be very careful about anybody who tries to pull you aside from your pastor. Hear what I'm saying? Anybody that says, pastor don't need to know that we're having this conversation. Why would anybody need to talk to you about anything that your pastor can't know? Why would any sheep need to talk to another sheep about something that the shepherd doesn't need to know? So be very careful when people say, well, we can't talk about this right here. You might want to say, let's talk about this right here. Don't repeat this to the pastor. You might want to say, let's get him on the speakerphone right now. Amen. Come on, somebody. And this is the way that they creep in unaware, these false teachers. Not only, we're going to not just talk about false teachers tonight, but divisive spirits, intruding spirits that would try to, and we'll get there in just a few minutes here in the scripture. But you need to be very careful about people that will say to you, pull you over to their houses or pull you over to restaurants or pull you over to the side of the church when nobody can hear what's being said and want to talk to you in secrecy. I'm not talking about asking for prayer and trying to get guidance right now. I'm talking about they want to share. Let me just share this with you. So be careful about that, because one of the roles of your pastor in the church and in your life is to be on that watchtower and to be a watchman over the church, a watchman over your souls for the well-being of the church. Amen. So any spirits or false doctrines or false teachers that would try to infiltrate that, that's not of God. We don't need to do anything I'm teaching you. I'm teaching right across this pulpit. It's open. I'm doing it. Nowadays, we're doing it right over the airwaves and right over the internet. It's going out all over the world. All right, so there's nothing, anything that needs to be, this Bible doesn't need to be discussed secretively. Amen. So he says there, you need to contend for it, fight for it, defend it. And he said, I'm writing to you that you understand this, that you need to stand up for the truth. For there are, why? Here's the reason why. He says, for there are certain men. These are teachers who have crept in unawares. The word means unnoticed. They've kind of just, is the word snuck, is that what I'm looking for? Or sneaked? Whatever you prefer. You just fill in the blank, all right? They snuck in there, and they did it craftily. They did it like I just said. They just said, don't, we don't need to tell everybody about this. It's just little whispers. And they come in unnoticed, unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, what he's saying here is that even though it might catch us by surprise, it's not catching God by surprise. Even though they might slip under the radar of the pastor and a few saints, they're not slipping under the radar of God. In fact, God knew from the beginning they were already condemned from the beginning. God already knew who they were, what they were teaching, and it's already condemned. Ungodly men. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, these are obviously men that Jude is addressing. These teachers are teachers who are promulgating this doctrine of just living loose, fast. There's obvious sexual immorality in their lives, and they're just basically saying you can come to the Lord and not have any transformation. They're taking the gospel of grace, the doctrine of grace, and running to the extreme with it, and saying if you're saved by grace, then you can live any way you want to live. And my Bible teaches, your Bible teaches, that even though you're saved by grace, there's a transformation that takes place. In fact, it is required of you in your life. You won't / can't continue the same way you've always lived. There will be a transformation. Anybody that tells you there isn't, false doctrine. And these were the men that were getting into the church. Than denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So watch this. He says, I'm going to put you in remembrance of some things. He says, I want to remind you of these things. Though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, and he takes them back to the example of the Lord bringing their fathers out of Egypt. And he says, look, the Lord saved the people, because this is the people that are teaching you this. They're saying, okay, if you're saved by grace, then there's nothing that you can do to be unsaved. And so Jude says, let me walk you through a few examples. Your fathers, they were saved. And they were saved out of the land of Egypt. But they still got destroyed. Once saved, always saved. Not biblical. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, let me give you another example, Jude says, and the angels, I mean, these are angels. They live in heaven. They're right there with God. And they did not keep their first estate. In other words, they didn't recognize their place, but left their own habitation. They did not retain their heavenly abode, but they were cast out. He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. They're going to be judged too, the angels. And he says, oh, by the way, let me talk to you about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of people. You're talking about fathers and mothers and children. And the cities around them in like manner, who were giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Anybody that tells you there is no hell, there is no judgment, there is no damnation for those who reject Christ, false doctrine. Now he gives us some characteristics of these false teachers. I got to move quickly here. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. They badmouth, they backbite, they tear down, they destroy. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." In other words, he's saying, if this really is of God, these people that are trying to infiltrate the church, if they're of God, they don't need to go around bad-mouthing people in the church. They don't need to tear down the other teachers of the church. How are we doing? Are we okay? He says, look, even the heavenly angels coming against demonic spirits didn't sit there and get in a trash-talking session. This went right to the heart of the matter. Hey, God rebuke thee. There you go. Now, so be careful. These people that want to say, well, they, you know, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, that preacher, well, that church over there, well, if it's of God, they don't need to be tearing everybody down. The truth speaks for itself, will bear itself out. But these speak evil of those things which they don't even know what they're talking about, Jude says. Things that they know not. But only what they know naturally. There is no spiritual inclination in them. They're trying to do a spiritual work, but they're only operating in what they know in the flesh. And it comes across as brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. They've perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And then he goes on to say, this is what those false teachers are. And he gives some similes here. Feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they're clouds. They come across like they've got something. They're like they're full of wisdom, but they're not. Carried about with winds. They're trees whose fruit, without fruit, looks like they're going to produce, but they don't produce anything. Okay, I, time's sake, let's go somewhere else. I read the whole thing for you, so it's at least been read for you. Go to Romans 16. Nope, I'm sorry. Before you go there, go to Ezekiel. We'll go to Romans in a moment. Ezekiel 13. Here's another example. This is Old Testament example, but this is another example. Ezekiel is crying out, preaching out against false prophets in the Old Testament. We call them prophets. And here's the fact of the matter. God is sending words of warning and foretold judgment. That's what the Spirit is saying through true men of God in Ezekiel's day. That's what Ezekiel is preaching. But there's these other false prophets who found out there's no popularity in telling the truth these days. Come on now. No money in it, nothing to be gained by it, no popularity in it. I won't get asked over to anybody's dinner if I'm telling them, you better repent. Bless God. But they might ask me over for a hog roast. No, not a hog roast, I guess, but they might ask me over. for dinner, if I were to tell them, hey, you don't need to repent. You don't, in fact, that Ezekiel, he's crazy. God loves you. God wants to bring peace. This is a time of peace. And people say, oh, I want to go to that church. I want to have him over for dinner. Bring Ezekiel over. We don't even get to dessert. He's talking about damnation and judgment and bondage. And so he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets. Brother Hawkins, why are you teaching tonight? Why do you spend time talking about other teachers and other doctrines? Because if we don't cry out against it, who's going to? And so we live in a day. Now listen, Ezekiel didn't live in the time we live. These men had to go out and get an audience. But all false teachers today have to do is have enough money to get a few minutes on television. I hope I didn't lose 99% of you. I heard that. I heard one. That's all right. Or that's right. And the rest of you are like, oh, you're gonna get on my TV evangelist? I am. You already know that I am. I don't know very many of them that's going to tell you the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And some of them just flat out lie to you. So be very, 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 very careful. Because some of us, we're very cautious about, we won't let this come across the airwaves into our home and this come across the airwaves in our home. And we won't let any cuss words. We won't let any rated R, you know, all this stuff. We watch this stuff. But then if it says religious on it, we just flip anybody on. Come on now. Oh, I feel like I need to talk about this. Folks, you're apostolic. Folks, you know the truth. You know there's one God, not three. You know it takes repentance, not just love the Lord and raise your hand. You know better than that. You know better. You've got more truth than these people are putting out there. You know that the walking with God is not about how big of a car you have and big of a home you have and fine suits and clothes and dresses you have and money you're bringing in. You know better than this prosperity stuff that they're putting out there. And you need to be very careful too about who some of these men that are out there, they're healing people and praying, and they're nothing more than they're just showing off. And it's not all real. Not all of it's real. And the problem with that is over the TV, you don't know. Now I'm going to say something here. I may hurt some of y'all's feelings, but I'm going to say it anyway. You, before you write a check to a TV evangelist and go sending money over to somebody else's ministry that's not even preaching and teaching the truth, I wouldn't do that unless I heard a booming voice. And I think I'd even have to see the face of God before I wrote a check for $1 and sent it to promote somebody's ministry that I don't even know and is not even preaching the truth. You want to throw a dollar away? Hey, put it in the offering basket. We'll at least do something with it to support the truth, okay? And I haven't said this one for a while. Thank you. That's that one person that said that's right a while ago. Amen. I knew some of you would get on board. I haven't said this one for a while, and I don't say it to sound cocky or flippant, but it really is. You need to think about this. If you're going to send your tithes to the Swaggart ministry or to Joe Osteen's ministry or to who else is out there, Creflo Dollar, and I don't even know who all is out there, Copeland, Lord help us. If you're going to send your tithes to these, if you're going to send your tithe there, do me a favor, would you please call them when your mama's aunt's uncle's in the hospital and see if they show up. They're not going to fuel up their jet, come flying into Bloomington, Indiana, and pray for your great-grandma's uncle's cousin's sister's brother that's never even been to church, but I will, because I love you, and if you love them, I love them. See, we got a relationship, so you pay your tithes where you're getting fed. Come on, somebody. Be careful where you're making investments. Be careful with that. So I'm crying out here tonight. Ezekiel said, the Lord told me to cry out against some of these false prophets, these false teachers, false preachers. Amen. And he said, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They haven't heard from God. They haven't got a vision from God. They're just crying out of their own spirits. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. I love this analogy. He says they're like, think about how a fox. Because you know, when you think about predators, you probably the first thing that comes to mind is not a fox, but they are pretty good predators. They don't roar and they don't stomp through the jungle, but how do they catch their prey? Very, very subtly. Cunningly. You've got to be smart. And they'll catch their prey and they'll run off to the desert. This is what it's talking about here. They'll catch their prey through cunning, crafty ways, and they'll run off to the desert with both the fox and the prey. And what he's saying is these false prophets get up and utter things. They haven't seen anything from God. They're just speaking from their own spirits. They prey on whoever will believe them. They'll prey on them. They'll snatch them up like a fox and its prey, and they'll run off. They're not going to be around when their prophecy doesn't come true. They're off over there in the desert with whatever they could snatch up and run off with. Come on now. And he says, you need to cry out against these, the prophets. They're like foxes in the deserts. They don't care about you. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Look at this. One of the roles of ministry in the church is to stand in the gaps and make up the hedge so that when battle comes, or we'll learn here in a minute, when storms come, that wall is strong. See, part of ministry, let me say it this way. Ministry is not just comprised of always, always, always just building you up, bless your heart. That's part of it. We need to, everything we do, we have to do with love. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. Amen? You ever hear anybody, I'm just blunt. Okay, I'll give you that. But the Bible also says you got to be blunt with love. Amen. You got to speak the truth with love. Getting lost. Here we are. So, yes, we build up, we encourage, we strengthen, we bless you. But if that's all we ever do, see, part of the ministry, how do you stand in the gap? First, you got to see the gap. You got to identify the gap. You got to look for deficiencies. I will be honest with you, when it's worship and praise time, I'm getting my worship and my praise on, but as the pastor, I can't just close my eyes and never look around. I need to know if our young people are worshiping. Because if they're not, I got to get concerned about them. I got to know if they're raising their hands or not. And when they are, I need to say, hey, good job, good job. When they're not, I need to say, come on, guys, now, don't get cold. I need to know if Sister So-and-so that's usually shouting and praising the Lord is just barely doing anything tonight. I need to know if I need to pray for her, reach out to her. So part of it is looking, I need to feel the Spirit. Is there disunity in the church? Is there a good atmosphere in the church? Is somebody struggling in the church? And if we don't cry out and first of all, recognize those things and fill the gaps in and bring in, you know, hedge up, then when battle comes, come on, it don't matter how much we shouted on Sunday night, how many bless yous from the pulpit I threw out here. It doesn't matter in the time of battle. You don't build any muscle in that. You don't build up the wall. Let's keep going here. So he says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. This is what the Lord says. And he says, I didn't say any of that. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. So he says, they're not satisfied by just putting out the false doctrines. They want somebody to come and say, hey, do you agree with me, Brother Worthen? Well, you go tell them too. Mm-hmm. Amen. We need to have a conference full of false teachers. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Confirming. I'll tell the lie, you come and confirm the lie, and we'll convince them. How we doing? This is all word here. Amen. The Lord, he said, I haven't sent them, and they've made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. He says, you're lying when you say the Lord said it and I didn't say it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. You need to understand, God is not passive about these things. He's not just saying, well, I'm not going to bless you. He's saying, I'm against you when we bring false doctrines, false teachings. Amen. Okay, I'm hot too. I see y'all fanning. We got to do something. I've got another 15 minutes worth of work. Could somebody help me, Brother Zach, go up there and turn something to make it cooler? Give me some mercy up here. I thought maybe I'm the only one, but I see at least a couple of you fanning there. And that could be my fault. I messed with it. I came in earlier. It was cold. And Zach, you can go ahead and shake your head if you want to. I know. I should not touch thermostats. He didn't, but he wanted to. I know he wanted to. I came in a while ago. I told Brother Bill, I said, man, it's cold in here. I went upstairs and messed with the thermostats. I didn't turn the heat on. I just turned the air up a little bit, and I shouldn't have done that. When it fills up, it gets warm. But anyway, there's no Bible against that. All right. Oh, I hear it kicking on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm against you, saith the Lord, and mine hand shall be upon, verse 9, upon the prophets that see vanity and the divine lies. Let's get down here to verse 10. I want you to see this. If we don't see anything else, I want you to get this. Because they have seduced my people. Now, this is what false teachers do. They work as seductive spirits, trying to lure, trying to tempt, entice. And they say, here's how they do it, peace. And he says, there's no peace. But they're going to tell you there's peace. You're not okay, but they're going to tell you you're okay. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. So here comes one false teacher and says, here, let me build up this nice strong wall. And it's just a junky, piddly, wimpy little structure. It looks good because there's so much care put into it, apparently. Be careful with people with silver tongues, huge vocabularies. That's not an anointed man make. Just because they can speak well. I don't mean you can't be anointed and eloquent at the same time, but just because they're eloquent doesn't mean they're anointed. Build up this wall, build up this wall. Man, they got the showmanship behind it and all this stuff. They look like it, they sound like it. But he says these false teachers, they come along, they put up this wimpy little weak structure. And then somebody else comes along and says, yeah, woohoo, this is right. And they daub it with untempered mortar. Now, untempered mortar simply means it's lacking the agent to harden the mortar. In other words, it's nothing more than whitewash. And you think it's mortar. Ever heard of mechanics trying to sell a used car and they put sawdust in the transmission? I don't know if that's even possible anymore, but it used to be an old trick. Or they'll oil this or grease that or whatever, just long enough, and they're saying, it sounds good. And you say, yeah, here's the money, till you get about 10 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles down the road. And that sawdust stops doing that little trick it was doing, and all of a sudden, clunk, 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 and you find out, oh, you bought a lemon. Amen. Too late. And that's what these men are doing. Look at this great wall. And somebody else says, yeah, and I'm daubing it with great mortar. It's not great mortar. It's false doctrine, and it looks good, and it's whitewashed, and it looks good, and it's false teaching, and it will not stand the test of time. It will not stand the test of battle. He says, daubed it with untempered mortar, verse 11 says, say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. Leave that up there if you would, sister. Jude said, earnestly contend. Amen. Brother Worthen, I love you, brother. But I got to tell you, if you ever start getting away from the truth, you and I will have an encounter. It won't be a little cute little, oh, Brother Worthen, I'm praying for you. It's going to be, Brother Worthen, what are you thinking, my friend? And if I ever start straying from the truth, I know you well enough to know that you would love me enough to say, Brother Hawkins, can we go talk? We need to talk. And Brother Hawkins, what are you thinking? That's you're talking about letting down on this and not teaching that anymore. What are you talking? I know you love me enough that before you would just up and go away, which you would if I didn't come around. I know. I would too. But you would at least reach out and say, we've got to contend for this faith. Contend for the truth. Stand up for, no, whitewashing a cheap little wall is not what we need. We need good buildings. We need good structures. We need strong walls, and we need tempered mortar so that when the storm comes and it's coming, and when the enemy comes and he does come, that this wall will stand. But it's only going to stand if it's built on truth, the Word of God. So we've got to earnestly contend for the faith, the truth. Doing okay? Hallelujah. I hope you can tell this is what the Lord gave me for tonight. And he says, so, hey, it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing? Wherewith you have daubed it, it just washes away. Folks, I've seen it over and over. I'm 50 years old. I've been in the church my whole life. I've seen little doctrines come, and I've seen them go. I've seen this come and this go. Oh, here somebody got a new revelation. No, we shouldn't be baptizing that way. We ought to be saying this when we baptize them. It comes and it goes. It's nothing more than whitewash, and as soon as the rain comes, it washes away. Well, you know, as long as people walk in what they know, we call it the light doctrine. As long as they walk in what light they know. Come on, somebody. If you believe that, then why would we ever teach anybody a Bible study? Why would we ever send a missionary to Africa if all we need to pray is that they just live in what they know? That's a false doctrine. It comes and it goes. But the word, the truth that we preach, one God, Jesus' name baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost, righteousness and holiness and purity before God. These are things that have stood, and they've withstood the tests of times, and storms will come, and the truth will still be standing. Oh, amen. Glory to God. One more little scripture here. I shouldn't say little scripture. I'm just trying to make it sound like I won't be long, but I don't want to call scripture little. Lord checked me as soon as I said that. Little scripture. And it's in Romans 16. I'll be brief. Now, you've heard this scripture. I'm sure you have. At least once and maybe dozens of times. When Paul says, and it's interesting where it's placed, but I won't go into that. But he's kind of switching gears as he's winding down his letter to the Romans. He goes from all these salutations, salute this one, salute that one. And then he says, oh, now I beseech you, brethren. See if you look up there in, most of 16 is greet, salute. Tell him I said howdy. Tell him I said hi. Tell him hey from Paul. And then he says, along with all these salutations and greetings that he's giving to all these people who he respects, he juxtaposes that with brethren who cause divisions. You'll see it here in 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Whose commentary am I reading? Clark says about that scripture. It means, mark them, means look sharply after them. Let them have no kiss of charity nor peace, because they strive to make divisions and thus set the flock of Christ at variance among themselves. And from these divisions, offenses are produced. And this is contrary to that doctrine of peace, unity, and brotherly love which you have learned. Look sharply after such that they do you no evil. And, well, hang on. Let's talk about this. Mark them. Watch for them. Remember I said earlier, one of the roles of a pastor is the watchman. He's in a watchtower. He's watching over the church. Now, I do not expect you to understand everything about the feelings of a pastor and the emotions of a pastor unless you've ever pastored. But you can catch some of it. You can catch some of it just by supposing, just by imagining, just by reading the Word, what's supposed to be in our hearts. Okay? So a large part of pastoring is to teach, it's to encourage, it's to admonish, it's also to rebuke. But we're to do all of those things with love. With love, with love. I already told you, if Brother Worthen, if he started doing things that would cause division or confusion, I would need to go to him. I'd do it in love. Love for him, but also love. And this is where you got to catch this. It's not just a love for him that I have to think about. It's a love for this whole body of believers. Amen. Yes. Amen. So I could sit around and say, now, Brother Worthen, I'm going to give you 6 months, brother, to come around on this. I'm going to give you 6 months. I'm not going to remove you from being an associate. You can still preach. You can still teach. You say, well, Brother Hawkins, that's awful merciful and awful gracious. Wouldn't it be? If he's up here not teaching the truth, not believing, say he don't believe in one God anymore, or he doesn't believe it takes Jesus' name baptism. But I say, you know, brother, I want to try to save that man. So I'm not going to address this. Can you imagine the train wreck that would be? It wouldn't take 6 months. Amen? So part of the watchman for the church is to say, that can't happen here. That can't happen here. Now, there's confusion sometimes with this, because we think that Mark 18, is it Mark 18? Somebody help me with, if your brother offends you, go to your brother and go to the church. Is that Mark 18? I think it's in that. I think it's the same, but I'm thinking first go to your brother, then go to the church, then bring him before the church. You can help me there, brother, a bunch. But we think that is dealing with church discipline. That is how you as a brother handle an offense with a brother. Now, are we brothers? Yes, we are. If there's something personal between us, then we handle it that way, even as a pastor. If I think you're just being rude to me or my kids or my family or whatever, I'm not going to make that that's not going to be ever going to be handled in the pulpit or as a pastor. What is it? What does that say? Is it Matthew 18?
If your brother or sister sins, and go and point out their faults just between two of you.
Okay.
If they listen to you, you have one.
What else? Is that King James?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you keep going. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Okay, you got it up on the screen. Brother shall trespass against thee, go. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Go on to the next verse. I didn't mean to go here, but I'm trying to follow the Spirit tonight. But if he will not hear thee, okay, there it is. So it's Matthew 18. If he won't hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Go ahead. It ends up being brought to the church. If he neglects it, then bring it unto, tell it unto the church. and if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. This is a form of discipline, but this is a line of action for brother and brother in the church, an offense, and some kind of division being made. But there, in the epistles, we have other directions that deal with if there's a fault. If Brother Worthen is teaching false doctrine, you think I'm going to go to Brother Worthen and say, "Now, Brother Worthen, let's talk this through." And he says, "No, I'm not going to hear you. In fact, I'm going to be going to people's homes. I'm going to be messaging them. I'm going to show them my revelation." I can't do that. And Paul says, "You don't do that." Paul says, "You mark them." How we doing? Now, this doesn't mean that we go around, be careful with this, doesn't mean that we go around as Christians marking everybody's life. But one of the roles of a watchman on the watchtower is to go back to my other scripture, if you would, there, Romans 16. Romans. Mark them which cause divisions. He's talking here about two things. Doctrines that would cause divisions in the church and spirits that cause divisions in the church. If they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, what is the doctrine? We just read it. The doctrine that we know is of peace. Unity, brotherly love, those are part of that. That's the doctrine that we know. That's the doctrine that we've learned. He says, these things that go against those, you need to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Now, I'm bringing this up because I just had a conversation about this recently with a pastor friend of mine. And we were just, I'm just being transparent with you tonight. We were just kind of halfway lamenting the fact that if we're not careful, we really fail to do this. We fail to do this with people and pastor to pastor saying, you need to watch out. Now, we've had people come through this church before who have, I remember there was a time where years ago, we had a guy come in and he was a bearded man. That's fine. I started to notice that he would pray around the altar with people, but he would only pray with men who had beards. That's strange. Pretty soon, somebody finally came to my office and said, Brother Hawkins, you need to see this. This is what this man is passing around to the men. Not to you, not to me, just to the men. And it was handwritten pamphlets on why you're not going to heaven if you don't have a beard. Okay. That's false doctrine. That's some concocted idea. Somebody's got it, and they've built on it, and they wrote some things out. How am I going to handle this? He's already gone behind my back to every man he could pull aside in the church and said, you need to read this. So finally, I just prayed about it. I said, Lord, if he comes again Sunday night, I'm going to have to talk to him. I can't have this confusion in my church. Or the church I pastor. Sorry, I preach against that kind of words, don't I? You understand what I'm saying. So he shows up. So after church, I call him in the office. I said, Brother, I love you. Glad you're here. I want you to feel free to worship here. I pulled out the pamphlet that he didn't know I had and said, but if you continue to come here, we're going to have a conversation about this. And he said, oh, yeah, when I caught him. Oh, yeah, you need to believe that. And I said, Brother, I don't believe this. This is not right. And I don't have to talk to you about it, and I don't have to study about it. I already know what I believe about this. All right? And so when he saw that I wasn't going to hear him and I wasn't going to tolerate it, that was his last service. I don't think I've ever seen him since anywhere, but I haven't seen him here since. Okay, I wasn't trying to be hateful. I was doing that in a spirit of love because you can't come to church and have division and confusion. And anybody that tells you, here, don't let the pastor, but you need to pray, that's division and confusion. All right? So, some things, Paul says, you've got to mark them, watch, he's not done yet, that cause offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and There's the part we often just leave it unread and unspoken because it's hard. Hard words. But you don't patty cake with some things because they're detrimental. They're detrimental. They're destructive. You with me? So we can't tolerate false doctrines. We can't tolerate people going, you say, Brother Hawkins, who's been doing that? Nobody that I know of. If they have, come see me after the service, all right? I'm just telling you that what the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight. So Jude says, contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. Ezekiel says, better not listen to false teaching because it's nothing more than whitewashed, weak little walls. It's going to fall down and won't stand the test of time. Paul says, you need to mark the ones who would bring anything contrary to the truth and the gospel of peace and unity and love. You need to mark them and avoid them. You don't let them wreak havoc in your church. You don't let them wreak havoc in your youth group. You don't let them wreak havoc. Come on. You don't let them wreak havoc in your family. I love everybody. I'm sure you all do too. But love doesn't equal just being passive about everything. Parents, if your kids are misbehaving or doing something wrong, you can't be passive about it. Not in this day. It'll kill them. It'll kill others. You got to get in this stuff. If there's something going on in your home, husbands, you can't be passive about these things. You got to get in this stuff. You got to fight the spiritual battle. You got to pray over your home. You got to take authority over these things. You just have to do it. You've got to mark these things and make sure we avoid these things in the church setting. But yes, even in more personal settings, how are we doing? You can be standed is what I was getting ready to say. You may be standed. You know what's sad? That's the only thing some of you are going to remember that I said tonight. He said, you may be standing. He said something too about Mark. I don't remember what that was. Hallelujah. Should have led with that one. Praise God. We got to be careful. We're in a day where we got to be careful, got to be careful, got to be careful. Got to be watchful, got to be diligent. Amen. Did I mention that avoid them part? So that means once you mark them, you don't just they don't have free rein to your ears anymore. They just don't. They just don't. Amen. If you see drama, I'm going to talk to somebody for a minute. If you see drama, I don't care if it's on Facebook or it's on Twitter or if it's in a personal setting. Hear me, I'm talking to everybody that's under my pastorate right now. Stay out of it. You don't need to comment. You don't need to chime in. You pray. Okay? You just let it play out its course. You just let it play. You just pray and you let it play out itself. There's nothing to be gained. I'm telling you, we live in a day where we got to preach against Facebook comments. But we do. Paul would have. You know he would have. Jude sure would have. And I think Peter might have too. And I know John would have. I know I'm in the Holy Ghost when I say this, okay? Be careful what you post. Be careful what you comment on. Just some things you just need to pray over. Because most of the time you don't even know everything anyway. Amen? So we got enough to worry about here, don't we? But hey, we got to mark those that are, and we've got to watch those that are causing, and then we got to just avoid, just stay out of that. That's not us. That's not our fight. We're busy. I don't know about you, but I stay so busy just contending for the faith. Amen. I don't have time for a Facebook fight. I'm sorry, I just don't. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love October. I really do. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we ask that this word gets down into our hearts, down into our spirits. God, I pray, God, that you would help us to grow. Lord, help us to have a love for the truth. God, so many through the years have been seduced away from the truth. But Lord, I pray for every hearer of this word tonight, God, that we will have a genuine love for the truth, so much so that we would contend for it, that we would stand up for it, that we would defend it in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to not lend our ears to false teachers, false doctrines that would try to come against the unity of the church. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us, God, to stand against these things, and Lord, to be lovers of the truth, lovers of the word. We ask it in the name of Jesus. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Raise your hands one more time, would you? Would you just make that your prayer? Would you make that your prayer right now? Lord, into my heart, I rebuke every fowl of the air that would try to snatch away the word, the seed, before it's germinated in our lives. Let it come to fruition. Let it come to growth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Whew, Brother Zach, it's cold in here. Can you turn the heat on or something? Hey, I love y'all. God bless you.